Good day, mate.
Kia ora koutou katoa from Aotearoa.
Magandang araw mga beshies.
This is Finding Answers Season 2 with JR.
And Tina.
Yes!
Okay. Season 2. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. May share ako from last weekend.
What happened?
Super funny anecdote lang. Medyo basic but big insight kasi last weekend I decided to order KFC after being here in Australia for 10 or so months. So
first time
to order ng KFC. Actually kasi lagi ko siya napapanood yung commercial niya while watching TV. So you know when a commercial really works well, especially for food, if you start craving for it. So last week sabi ko talaga this weekend mag-KFC ako. So nung Saturday, me and my boyfriend nag-drive-through kami sa KFC. So on the way, he was asking me what I wanted, and I was like, I'm just gonna get my usual order. Original chicken, rice, and a set of coleslaw. And
unlimited gravy.
And unlimited gravy! Kasi diba sa Philippines ka na naman, value meal, chicken, rice, and then side, and then Coke, diba?
Yes.
And then it was like, really? Like rice? My boyfriend asked me, like rice? Yeah, why? There's no rice in KFC. If you order rice in KFC, people will laugh at you. Talaga ba? Like, really? So we decided, like on the way, we decided that we're just gonna get bucket of chicken, original
bucket
chicken
meal.
So we got to the drive-thru. There was a long queue, so there was a bit of time for us to check out the menu. And then I saw this massive menu of like 3 panels. Ang daming ganap, ang daming food. And I was like, what the freak? Parang I was trying to read Greek. And then I was trying to look for that bucket thing and I couldn't find it. And then until it was our turn. So it was just like 1 or 2 minutes and I couldn't digest the whole thing. And finally, I was on the driver's seat, so I was talking to the lady taking the orders, and she's like, "What do you want to get for today?" And I was like, "Oh, we're gonna get a bucket of chicken." She's like, "Okay, what bucket?" She's like, "Of original chicken." It's like, "Yeah, but which bucket?" And at that point, I was just dumbfounded because I didn't know what to say. It was like the picture in my head was the KFC bucket in the Philippines of like 10 or 20 chicken inside. That's it.
Yeah,
right?
Bucket.
I was like, anong bakit? So I looked at my boyfriend and he had this look of like shock and he was just flabbergasted. He was like, say something, she's talking to you. And I was like, I don't know what to say. Apparently, she's asking me what size of bucket. Because apparently here in Australia, there's a bucket of 6 and a bucket of 21.
Right.
So I just said a bucket of 6. And at that point, it dawned on me that, you know, when you move to a new city, something as mundane and basic as ordering something from a drive-thru could be stressful and overwhelming sometimes. You know, it's like trying to start all over again. And it felt as if it was my first time to read again. So like for locals or people who have lived here for a long time, maybe have known the menu from KFC like the back of their hand, right? But for me, I was lived here for like less than 1 year. I have to digest everything first and need more time to understand things. So I think realization and insight for most of our listeners and Kabeshes is that when you move to a new country, understand that there will be a lot of things to unlearn and also things to learn as well. So give yourself a lot of like leeway and patience, and don't be too hard on yourself if you find yourself struggling even with something as basic as ordering KFC from a drive-thru.
Yeah, don't be too hard on yourself because that's part of a journey, right? And that's what makes it exciting as well, because you get to learn these new things na it's different here pala in terms of like this thing and all that, and that's normal. It happens to everyone.
Yes, and there's a lot of things that are so much different from where we come from the Philippines, for example. Like as to when you move to a new city. So just give yourself time to absorb everything.
Right. And I think in relation to that, no, after all the happenings in the world, especially how toxic it is in the Philippines right now, maybe people have really started looking for opportunities abroad. Even in the US, they said like one of the top countries or regions that they would like to transfer to after the COVID-19 pandemic is the Oceania region, Australia and New Zealand. I think it's because of the way we have handled the pandemic as well, that most Filipinos or even from other countries, top of mind, is going to another country, right?
Yeah, and I've noticed this as well. Talking to a lot of friends since the pandemic happened, now they're asking me about what it's like here in Australia and also in New Zealand. Because apparently, it's not just the pandemic and how it's being handled in the Philippines, but also the political environment and the whole, what the government and some people may deem incompetence is happening. It's like driving people out of the country, unfortunately. So, ayun, I think it's just Australia and New Zealand are the top of minds right now.
Right. It's like they're dealing with inclination on safety and security needs, diba? Na pretty much kapag babalikan natin yung theory of Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, pretty much in the baseline of that pyramid, right?
Yes.
And as you've mentioned, it's Australia and my very own Aotearoa New Zealand is their top of mind. And because primarily the government response led by our Prime Minister as well, Jacinda Ardern, has gotten the attention of many all around the globe. And people have been more interested in how to be able to come here and live here.
And this is the reason, I think, why for this episode, we'll be discussing about the main visa options or migration routes from the Philippines or other countries to New Zealand.
Yes, I'm so happy to talk about this because I have friends left and right asking me as well, and then asking some of the friends of my friends, like, you should discuss about how, what are the different ways on how to actually to go to New Zealand. So, but as a disclaimer, we are no immigration advisors whatsoever. We are not professional on this field. Our views and opinions are just based on our own interpretation about the information that we gathered from the experience of friends and from those that we read from websites and other platforms.
Yes, so it's very important that you verify the information that you gain from us by doing your own research. D-Y-O-R, do your own research. And check with the D-Y-O-R, pag mga Facebook group.
Okay. Ayan.
And check with the immigration.
Ang alam ko kasi, ano, GMG.
Google mo, bawal tayo magmula. Muntik na ako doon. Google mo, girl.
Google mo, girl.
Oo, girl, with the H.
Yes.
Pwede rin naman yun. MG, D-Y-O-R.
Google mo, girl.
Oh, girl. Ayan, so we advise DYOR and GMG and check with the Immigration New Zealand website, information boards, or advisor. So what we're doing for this episode is just giving you a glimpse, like an overview of the potential routes. And then hopefully that will guide you through your own research or Google.
All right. So our visa option number one is the holiday visa. So pretty much this is what happened to me. Okay, so if you're very quite lucky that first you would like to see New Zealand first and tour around the country, just like what happened to me, because previously I have a friend already that's based here, right? And I just visited him and went all around, and then in the process I looked for job openings, and it just turned out I chanced upon a job opening that is willing to, or the company is willing to actually sponsor a visa. And there are some companies who are like that, especially for a country like New Zealand, in which the people are not so many, and then for specific fields of work, na like for specific specialization, there are really times that they really cannot find the talent or the capability that they're looking for within. So they have no choice. They have to sponsor outside. The good thing about being here while on holiday is that you're accessible. So if they can invite you for an interview, you're already here. So that's your edge against other people who are still outside.
Right.
I think that's another thing while I got an edge as well when I got the job offer is because I have, it's as if I have a serious intention of coming here.
Yeah.
Because I already checked out the country, like I already felt how it is like here. So it's like for them, it's like more sincere because you're here, you're physically here, you're actually interested about the culture. You presented why you would like to come and stay here afterwards. So yeah, so that's just one of the routes that you have. Get a visitor visit first about the country that you're interested in. So for example, New Zealand, and then search for jobs there. And then if you're lucky, you can get like a job offer offered to you.
I know someone who's done the same thing, traveled to New Zealand and while on a travel visa, looked for a job. And I see what you mean when you said that, you know, the intent is already there because you've already gone to New Zealand. You've already done half of the 50% of the thing. So, you know, like when employers interview you, you're physically there already and you've done for yourself, you've done your ocular, kumbaga, ocular
visit. Exactly.
Yeah. You've sussed it out. Yun yung slang nila dito. Sussed it out. Or, yun nga, parang inobserve mo na how it is, like, quality of life, the kind of employers that you have the potential to work with, etc.
Right. So, and of course, there are possibilities kasi na, for example, you go migrate to that country at once and then eventually you will realize pala, oh my gosh, this is actually not for me. This is not that kind of environment I like. It's too quiet here, there's not much people, etc.
It's too cold.
So, diba? So it's good that you go to like have an ocular inspection first. So
yeah,
that's one of the option. That's why actually New Zealand is offering a long-term holiday visa and they call it the working holiday visa. And they have some countries that they offer it to. So Philippines is like one of them. So the Philippines Working Holiday Visa Program of New Zealand helps young educated people come to New Zealand. So you can apply for this visa if you're a citizen of the Republic of the Philippines and you have at least $4,200 to show to live on during your stay. So while you're here, you can study and work while you enjoy your holiday. So the length of stay of this visa is you can stay here for 12 months, but it has an age range criteria. You should be between 18 to 30 years old. And it only has like a limited quota per year, 100 per year. So I think I know a couple who has undergone this process. So what they did is when the slots open, it opens on a specific date and time. In a matter of minutes, boom. Wala na siya. So you need to have like fast internet, prepared all your information. You just go ahead and copy and paste all your information with the questions. And I think there are actually some Facebook groups of those who are doing the working holiday visa already and they can share best practices in terms of like how to apply for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so if you are under this visa, you can actually work in New Zealand for up to 12 months and or study or train for up to 6 months in total. So I think you can only be provided with the work rights for an employer up to 3 months. But if they have liked you and they think that you are valuable to the company, they can convert that into an actual working visa or even a work to residence visa, something to that effect. So, and they can sponsor you. And the good thing about this one is you are legal to have a holiday and also legal to work.
And nice. That's the good thing.
So the good thing about here is you can apply for it online and the process is online. It's pretty much once you got it, you can already go once your visa officer has already provided you with the visa.
Oh, galing.
I guess other countries have that as well, no? Pero alam mo ang difference for the Philippines. So for example, for ibang countries like Europe, blah, ang age limit nila 35.
Yeah.
And also like for example, you're from Europe, wala silang like quota per year because they really use it like as a working holiday. Like, that's for example, true. They would like to do holiday like a year around New Zealand, and then they don't have sufficient funds to cover everything. So what they will do is they will do a part-time work like bartending and everything.
Cherry picking, mga ganon.
Yes, fruit picking and everything. Yes. Just to sustain their travel.
Yes.
So, kasi uso sa kanila yung mga gap year and yes. everything kasi we don't have a concept of that.
Mm-mm.
Pero so for alam nila na for countries like the Philippines and maybe other third world countries, this is our stepping stone for a permanent visa. Kaya naman may quota sila per year.
Ay, itong mga to, maparaan to.
Alam namin to. Alam na nila
yung galawan.
Alam na mga Pinoy. So, yeah. So, that's your working holiday visa for you.
Okay. Another visa option naman, and very common as well, is the student visa. So, if you remember, if you've listened to our third episode on the first season, oh, di ba may ganun? On the first season, the third episode, we guested Richard, who's on a student visa in New Zealand, and he explained a lot of things. So, if you want to learn more about international student lifestyle in New Zealand and also in Australia, listen to our third episode from the first season. But basically, in New Zealand, there are various options for the student visa. You could go on a fee-paying student visa, an exchange student visa, foreign government-supported student visa, and pathway student visa. So I will be covering the two major student visas, which are fee-paying and the pathway student visa. Now, the fee-paying student visa is literally, if you will go to New Zealand to pay for your own education, so walang scholarship whatsoever from the government, you will be paying for everything. So this visa is for you if you want to study full-time in New Zealand for more than 3 months. So you'll need to pay the full cost of your courses and enroll with an approved education provider, meaning you've already enrolled in a university, for example. The criteria you must meet is that you must have an offer of place or confirmation of enrollment from an approved education provider, meaning a university or universities have already accepted you as their student. You'll need enough money though to pay for your fees and to live on while you're here. If you have this visa, you can stay for up to 4 years. You can study full-time at the course stated on your visa, and this includes schools, like grade school, tertiary, which means study after secondary school, and English language study. You could also work part-time for up to 20 hours a week while studying, and full-time, work full-time in the holidays depending on your visa conditions. You could live by yourself above a certain age, otherwise you'll need to come with your parent or legal guardian. And after this visa, you can apply for another student visa or a work visa. Yung pathway naman, the main difference is if you want to study up to 3 consecutive courses on a single student visa, then you could take the pathway student visa. You'll need to have an offer of place from a pathway education provider. And if you have more than one education provider, you must provide a letter explaining the courses you will study and the start and finish dates of those courses. Again, you must pay the full cost of your first course or first year of study, whichever is shorter, and be able to pay the tuition fees for any second or third courses. Unlike the fee-paying student visa, which is up to 4 years, this one is you can stay up to 5 years. So you can study up to 3 courses, one after the other, on just one student visa, work part-time as well, up to 20 hours a week while studying, and full-time in the holidays. And again, after this visa expires, you can apply for another student visa or a work visa. So yon. If you want to learn more, you can again visit the immigration website of the New Zealand government for more information.
Yeah. This is pretty common, no? Actually, I think it's the most common visa option that a lot of friends here and makakilala ko are gunning for. The only thing here is that it's really expensive. Kasi actually, New Zealand and universities are getting or getting their income a lot from international students. Kasi ang difference talaga nila is like times 3 or times 4 yung tuition na binabayaran ng international students versus you if you're a resident.
Yes.
And so, malaki talaga income and business talaga nila yan.
Business talaga. So, if you're planning to go to New Zealand under a student visa, you have to be fully committed to it and fully committed to spending a lot as well. I think Richard from the third episode explained that yes, he could work and he could get some money from work, but you have to make sure that you have enough money to sustain you, because what you will earn from your part-time work, for example, while studying, could supplement or complement pala your budget, but not really sustain you. So you have to be mentally and financially prepared when you go into school.
Right. And supplementary lang talaga siya, no? Like, especially considering the living cost of living here compared to the Philippines. Really
exactly.
Different. Rent pa lang eh, mataas na siya.
Yes.
So yeah, and to those who are doing student visa, the good thing about this one is after, for example, you have finished your course already, you can apply for a post-study work visa or job search visa after mong mag-study. So I think that can be up to 3 years. So that can support you while looking for an actual job afterwards. That's why this is also like a viable option. Kasi after you have studied, you just, you know, pay them and all that. You already have the rights for like a search, job search visa. So, and you can transition. But the thing is, it would really be an investment.
Yun nga. But imagine, diba, if you have the money for it naman, and if you really want to move to New Zealand, diba, if you come on a student visa, maybe for 4 years or 5 years, diba, depending on the type of visa, and then you extend your visa pa under those postgraduate work visas that you just mentioned, by the time that finishes, you've already spent like 8 years, 9 years in New Zealand already.
Yeah. Depende rin kung how strategic you are. Kasi naman, well, maybe while studying, if you already have like even experience in the Philippines whatsoever and you chanced upon an employer that would actually sponsor you and transition you from being a student visa to an actual work visa, you can cut short naman your studies.
Studies
and then just transform it to an actual work visa and maybe eventually residency.
Yeah, dito na rin po papasok yung sinabi ni Matt and other guests as well from the previous episodes na when you move to a new country, make sure na yes, you can be close to your Filipino community, but make sure you build your network as well, especially your professional network, because you know by doing so you will build your chances of landing a proper job and a good job to support your career.
And then you can just really be proactive in terms of if you really like it, like for example you're a student but I don't like to be on a student visa anymore, I would like to be sponsored, blah blah blah, you can just be proactive and continuously search. Eventually naman you will chance upon an employer that will sponsor you if you are the right fit with them, you know,
and if you have the right work ethics, which we discussed the last two episodes.
Exactly.
Diba? For sure.
Yeah. And then the network, the referrals here, yung mga referrals, it really works.
Yes. Totoo.
Right. So the third visa option that we'll be talking about is the skilled migrant visa. So pretty much ito rin naman yung nangyari sa akin. But I just started with a tourist one and then eventually I was offered with a work visa. And then I got my residency under the skilled migrant visa category. So pretty much skilled migrant, you already have like a skills that they are looking for. And then you migrate to the country. So the first one, the first option here is like a visa, a work visa to be sponsored by an employer. So as I mentioned earlier, there are times that they cannot find or they cannot look for the talent that they need within the country, so they source out abroad. So if you chance upon those employers and they get to sponsor your visa, then yeah, you can have that work visa. And then eventually you can transform that into a skilled migrant category resident visa. So usually naman here kapag ka skilled, if your skills is like in the short shortage list, the work visa that's being provided to you is the work to resident one. It's something that you can easily transform to a resident visa after 2 years. So that's also the kind of visa that was provided to me. Bonkers. However, you don't actually, there's also an option that you don't need to have a work visa first, but go straight to residency. There's actually an option for that, but it's more of like, mas matagal siya in terms of processing. Mm. Yeah, so the, let me just read my...
Siguro ito yung visa na if you don't have the same budget na, if you don't have a lot of budget, kumbaga, for migrating, ito yung visa option na pinaka hindi ka gagastos and at the same time, yeah, mas may likelihood of you becoming a permanent resident and eventually a citizen, right?
Yes. Yeah, so it's less fast. Mm. So, slower process siya, pero mas sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, kasi it's basing on the points that you gain when you're applying. Kasi the skilled migrant category resident visa is they're inviting people who have the skills, yes, to contribute to New Zealand's economic growth to apply for the visa. So they actually have like a skill shortage list in which you can check the specific occupation that you have. And then if you see, nasa shortage list pala yung skill ko. And these skills are varying, ah. Sometimes IT, nurses, and even the blue-collared ones like yung mga baking, yung mga ganun. Nasa, yes. You just need to go to the website and check if your career is under the skill shortage list. Mm-hmm. So, before you apply, you need to be invited or you need to send an expression of interest telling about your employment news in New Zealand, your work experience and qualifications. And then, lahat ng nagpasa ng expression of interest, they are in a pool and then they get people from that pool in a regular basis. Like, I think in 2 weeks time or something.
And then point once system. You...
Point system yon, and then you have to identify kung saan ka mga points makakuha. And then once you get invited, you will be provided with like an invitation to apply, and that's the time there's like a visa officer assigned to you, a case officer, and then you will provide all the things that they need or that they require from you.
Pag sinabi natin point system, yeah, kasi diba, parang yun yung method ng migration offices here as well, and there in New Zealand, na point system meaning the higher points you get, the more likely na matatanggap ka. And the points you can source from, for example, the age. So, kung up to what age, yun yung highest points na pwede mong makuha. Or with your experience, how many years kang experience, mas malaki yung makukuha mo. Something like that, diba?
Yes, so to those who are interested about what constitute the point system. So it includes the age, the skilled employment. Syempre, mas marami kang points if you already have like an employment in New Zealand or a job offer in New Zealand. If you don't have those, don't fret or something. Kasi meron pa namang ibang source of points like yung qualifications. Qualifications are pretty much the courses that you have finished.
Yes.
Depending kung anong level siya. The higher the level, the higher the points you have. The work experience, like how many years you have spent on the specific skill that you're gunning for. If you have a work experience in New Zealand or an offer from New Zealand, that's better. If not, you can still push for it.
And English also, points.
Yung English points as well.
Based exactly, on your English score language. In IELTS. Diba, for example.
Exactly. Or other TOEFL or something. TOEFL. Kung ano man yun. Yeah. So I think the minimum number of points that you need to be eligible is 160, and in the website naman there's like a points checker or points indicator, so you can just put there what do you think the information is for you although not necessarily yun talaga yung points mo, ah, kasi they're going to assess it differently pa eh. And then for you to sometimes to qualify for those points, you need to have certain things assessed, like for example your qualifications or your degree. There are certain degrees that don't need, or there's certain schools that are accepted from qualification assessment. However, I myself, even my course in UP, my master's, I even had it assessed by the New Zealand Qualifications Authority just to be sure that I got the points as well. So yeah, because in my case, when even though my visa was work to residence, I actually can wait for 2 years. And okay. Then I will be have an easier way to be a resident. But after 1 year, I already applied for residency kasi gusto, nagmamadali ako. And I don't like to be tied to my employer.
Yes.
Kasi if you wait to be, you know, parang may reciprocity ka pa rin ang naloob or something.
Mas flexible kapag ano.
Exactly.
Kapag wala ka
so I also underwent the skilled migrant visa residency category. But as I've mentioned, it is not necessary for you to have a work here. I also know a friend who from Malaysia went ahead and applied for a skilled migrant residence visa at once, even without any work. Kasi kapag na-approve naman yun, like for a period of 1 year, they will let you apply. And then if you got it, and then eventually it will lead to residency na.
Oh. So
it's a more sure way,
yeah,
you know, of doing it.
Cool. Oh, ito yung next natin. This next one, it's permanently closed.
Pero really interesting to discuss this one.
Interesting to discuss. That's why we're still including it. And we know a couple of friends who have entered New Zealand through this. And this is called the Silver Fern Job Search Work Visa. And this visa is for highly skilled young people who want to live and work in New Zealand long term. Again, it's permanently closed. But to apply, you'll need to have the right qualifications and genuinely intend to look for skilled employment once in New Zealand. So your length of stay could go from 9 months. Length of stay is up to 9 months, and your age range should be 20 to 35 years old. You can come to New Zealand to look for skilled employment, and you can also work for any employer in any occupation in New Zealand. Things to note, you can't include a partner or dependent children in this visa application. We're including this, again, we like to emphasize that this cannot be, this is permanently closed, so you cannot apply for this visa anymore. But we included this because one of our previous guests, Janelle. Got into New Zealand through this Silver Fern, and she was one of the last batches of
grabe. Oh, last batch yata sila.
Which was when? Last year or 2 years?
Last year.
Oh, last year. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, super, because they closed it on October 2019. Yes, and also shout out to my friend Dan Punzalans. I think he's the second to the last batch of Silver Fern visa. Super competitive lang, like 300 slots globally. Imagine mo, like global. Lahat kayo, once it opens, parang working holiday dito ng Philippines eh. Pero at least yung working holiday for Philippines, ang kalaban mo, Filipino lang.
Oo.
Ito lahat ng bansa.
O, diba?
Talagang may Facebook group din lahat in terms of like tips on how to get a slot. Tapos meron akong friend na tinry naming i-project to eh, para sa kanya.
Yeah.
Kaya lang nung time na nag-open na yung slots, nag-down yung system. Hindi kinaya kasi ang dami. So, they had to wait like for another week or another couple of days. Tapos hindi ko na siya nasamahan. Ang gagawin sana namin, parang tandem, like, sige, mag-online din ako for you kasi baka mas mabilis yung internet dito.
Mm.
Pero hindi na ako nakasama sa kanya second time around. In the end, hindi niya nakuha pa rin. Kasi that's
nga?
How competitive it was.
Yeah, may isa, diba, na isi-segue natin to the new, to the
next
episode. May isa na, ang strategy naman nila is pupunta talaga sa hotel sa Pinas.
Yes, yung guest natin next week.
Kasi nga, dun yung pinakamabilis na internet. So, nag-book talaga ng hotel.
And shout out to my friend nga, Dan Punzalan. What he did is, I think sa work or something, pinhinanap niya yung station na may pinakamabilis na internet. Kasi nga, it really needs to be fast for you to get that slot. So, and then, parang raffle draw siya. Sayang nawala na siya kasi parang ang fun nung...
Oo nga, parang survival.
300 slots per year. Oh, ayan.
Parang and pinaghalong then, Survivor and Amazing Race.
Right. Pero imagine ah, yung happiness pag nakuha mo yung slot.
Oo nga.
Kasi you don't have to go through the student visa route anymore or whatever other visa routes na mahirap. I mean, you have 9 months to look for actual job. And if you have the skills naman and it's easy naman eh, if ever, yeah. Eh. As long as you masipag ka maghanap ng work, yeah. You can really land a job and be offered with an actual visa and yeah.
Dapat palitin na lang natin si Janelle. Ano yung ginawa niya before, no?
Oo, oo, no. Tanong
baka sa New Zealand siya nag-ano. Baka nasa New Zealand na siya. Ay, hindi pa pala siya nakapunta
ng New Zealand. Oo, no, hindi pa eh. So, or baka mabilis naman talaga internet niya sa bahay. Or baka sa office.
Janelle, yeah, message so us.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Silver Fern visa has permanently closed. Yeah, so you just have to go for the other visa options.
Ano pa ba
and maybe
iba?
The next one could be good for you. We also have the partnership visa. So if your partner is already in New Zealand, like for example, resident or citizen, or you and your partner applying for a visa to come to New Zealand together, you may be eligible for a visa based on your partnership. So, Immigration New Zealand defines partnership as two people of the opposite or same sex. So, that's the good thing about New Zealand and Australia. No? They recognize same-sex partnership as well.
Yes.
Who live together in a genuine and stable relationship in any of the following. A legal marriage, a civil union, or a de facto relationship. So, take note. You do not need to be legally married for you to apply for a partnership visa. So, when you apply for a visa based on your partnership with a New Zealand visa holder, so if the visa holder is like has a work visa or a residence visa or even a citizen, that person is your supporting partner and your supporting partner must be 18 or over. Actually, there's an or. If they're aged 16 or 17, they have the consent of their parents or guardian. So, pwedeng 16 or 17 have met each other. Of course, you should have met each other before applying for a visa based on your partnership.
Hindi pwedeng okay, Cupid.
And you should not be close relatives. So, hindi pwedeng pinsan tapos partner. Ganyan. So, what are the requirements? You must be able to show Immigration New Zealand that you're living together in a genuine and stable relationship before the visa can be granted to you. So this one, medyo strict sila dito. Talagang puputputin nila yung iba't ibang mga documents that you will provide. So, and you can provide as much like photos, support letters from friends na nag-support about attestation letter, that's what they call it. Attestation letters na sinusupport nila yung or witness sila dun sa how genuine your relationships are. And I think you actually need to have lived together physically. So, hindi pwede yung puro online lang. Like, ano yung mga
How can you
requirements?
Prove?
So, spending each other's homes while you maintain your own home, like flat sharing agreement or kung mga nag-book kayo kuwari may Airbnb kayo for like quite some time. So, dapat meron kayong mga ganong, ang tawag dito, mga documents to show. So, like, other partnership documents would be joint bank accounts, joint credit accounts, or joint investments, mga ganon. And even for example, you lived in the same house. So, if each of you has received letters such as utility bills that are addressed to the same house, that can serve as an evidence as well to prove that you're actually living together or you have lived together. I think ang minimum nila is you should have lived together physically for 1 year.
Okay.
If below than that, they might doubt if in terms of like the stability and genuineness nung relationship. So when they assess your partnership requirements, they will look at things like how long have you been together, how long have you been a couple, the living arrangement, whether you support each other financially, how you share your financial responsibilities, so the joint account that can matter as well, how committed you are to life together. They're actually asking for the milestones of your relationship. So you will have to do the history, like, oh, nag-spend kami ng time na ganito. So yeah, may mga ganun din sila.
Kung kailan kayo naging mag-on, ganun.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think there are times that you might, they might confirm it with you separately. Natawang tatawagan ka, so dapat tama rin yung sagot nung isa. Something to that effect. Pero if you have nothing to hide naman, it should be easy for you, diba? So, and they will also look if ever your own property together or share property, that's a plus point already. Any children that you have together, whether you share common household tasks or whether other people recognize your relationship. So, that's for the attestation letters. So, in terms of like the evidence, you and your partner must provide enough evidence to show the status or to show that you're living together in a genuine and stable relationship. Your evidence will be more credible if it's from official sources. So, for example, a joint tenancy agreement that is notarized showing the date that you and your partner started renting a property together is better than your friend writing them a letter to tell us how long you've been together. So, you don't have to provide...
JR, sulat mo naman kami ng letter.
Pero pwede yun.
Pwede
rin. As supporting. Pwede okay. siya. Pwede siya as attestation letters can be done.
Okay.
As a supporting document. Pero syempre, mas matimbang pa rin yung mga official na documents. Okay. Right? So yun. So those are the things that they're going to look at. So if you have a partner who already have a visa here or even a citizen here, if you have lived together and all that, you can go through the partnership visa. And I think that applies to the family visa as well. Kasi ganun ginagawa niyo may mga pamilya. They go through a working visa first, and then once they have been sponsored a visa, that's the time that they put, you know, they parang sponsor nila yung family nila. But it has to be immediate family. Wala yatang mga pinsan-pinsan na sponsorship.
Ah, okay.
And there's also parents visa in here. They just, I think they put it on hold for quite some time. But the parents visa has been reinstated as of last year. Pero they have specific requirements for that as well. Like, may IELTS na rin kahit yung mga parents and yung mga dependents, meron din siyang mga ganong requirements.
Matagal din ba ang waiting time? Because I know in for Australian parent visa, I know like the waiting time is years. Same din
sa hindi ko sure, pero because of the COVID situation, I think yes. And I think currently, kasi they put it on hold for a couple of years, if I'm not mistaken, or 3 years eh. Yeah. Tapos they reinstate nila. Tapos yung mga applications na i-assess nila is from the ones na na-hold pa. So, oh, I'm not sure about the new. Although, if the listeners are interested to know, usually, by the type of visa, they have the average processing time for each visa. So like 90% of the applications for this type of visa get approved or get finished in this number of business days. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me when I applied for the PR status, ha? Like 90% or 50% gets tawag dito, approved or completed in 2 months yata. But I got mine in 5 business days.
Bakit nga ulit?
Kasi may cover letter me. Because I have a cover letter stating that I will be going to Melbourne in August, which we will be canceling anyway. So sabi nila, ay naku, may flight to. Sige, asikasuin na nga. But yeah, so those are the mga quick tips naman. So
Nice. Ano pa ba? Are there any other
visa? So meron pa tayong other visa options. Yeah. Aside from the ones that we have already mentioned, those are the main ones that you can research for first. But there are other visa options, but pretty much these are just for selected niche people. Mm-hmm. One of which is the Global Impact Visa. This is actually new to me, no? I've just learned this when I researched for this episode. The Global Impact Visa, the context about it is Immigration New Zealand has partnered with the Edmund Hillary Fellowship to deliver an innovative immigration product for high impact entrepreneurs, investors, change makers, and startup teams. So this visa provides individual pioneering entrepreneurs and investors with a 3-year visa to create, support, and incubate ventures and models that result in positive global impact from New Zealand. So after 3 years, the migrants can qualify for permanent residency. Very interesting, no? Kasi parang you just need to be like an incubator or an innovator. Tapos pag napili ka nila, it's kind of like a scholarship or a fellowship. Yeah. And then they can grant you that visa.
I think that's New Zealand government's way of boosting the startup innovation ecosystem in the country, right? So they're encouraging people from all over the world to actually help in beefing up this ecosystem by providing this type of visa. And in a way, this is similar to the entrepreneur resident visa, which is another type of visa, which is for people who have been self-employed in New Zealand for at least 6 months or have operated a business for 2 years on another visa that allows self-employment. So you can stay indefinitely under this visa, and you can continue to operate your own business in New Zealand, live, work, and study in New Zealand, and include your partner and dependent children aged 24 and under in your visa application. Thing to note though is that if you apply after less than 2 years of being employed or self-employed, you'll need to have an entrepreneur work visa, have invested capital of at least 500,000 New Zealand dollars and have created 3 new jobs in New Zealand. So may requirements na ganon.
Yeah. So that one naman is like the investor's visa, no? So kung gusto mo mag-invest and mag come up with your business in here.
Yeah.
So definitely mas demanding siya in terms of like the requirements because you really need to show them that you have the capability. And usually pang mga mayayaman na visa. So I think mas suntok sa ban yung global impact visa, pero mas promising siya, especially if you're like really into it. So for the global impact visa pala, the 2 stages for that is submit an application and be accepted into the Edmund Hillary Fellowship. And then once you get accepted, that's the time you apply for the global impact visa. For the details about what the Edmund Hillary Fellowship is all about, just research the Immigration New Zealand website.
Wait lang, sino ba si Edmund Hillary?
Siya yung ano, first na nakaakyat sa Mount Everest, di ba?
Totoo ba?
Oo!
Wow!
Yeah, the first
very well
person
researched.
Who... The first person... I know naman very this from the top
talaga
of my head. From the top... So,
very good to sa episode.
No, the very first person who conquered Everest is actually from New Zealand.
Ang galing.
From Dunedin siya, if I'm not mistaken. Ay, hindi. Pinanganak siya sa Auckland. Pero for some reason, nakita ko yung what do you call this? Meron akong nakitang museum about him in Dunedin or something. Kasi dun yata siya nagpa-practice or whatsoever before he went to sambang ano Everest sa Nepal. Yeah.
Bonggacious. Very good na sana eh.
Mm-mm. Ayun. But yes. Okay. So, yeah. Ang galing no, may pinangalan na sa kanyang fellowship.
O kaya nga eh. So ano bang key learnings natin dito sa segment na to?
Yeah. Would
ako
you like
siguro,
to go first?
If you're exploring visa options, make sure that you really have done your research. And I can't emphasize this enough. Do your research, and if you would feel more comfortable, just hire a migration agent. Because some people do it on their own, dini-DIY nila, and some actually are successful doing it, but others fail. So just overwhelm yourself, not even overwhelm, but like just read up about type of visa options that you have, and once you've picked something that's most relevant to you, then research more about it and ask around people, you know, maybe join those Facebook groups that Jer has been saying earlier, and yon, just maybe organize the information that you need before you make your actual application, because it could really require you with a lot of investment in time and also in finances. So when you decide to apply for a visa, just commit to it, you know, be prepared to spend, especially for example the student visa. It's not cheap at all. It could be really expensive. So you have to be fully 100% into it.
Yeah, in my case, if you really want it, you really have to put energy, time, and effort to it. Kasi meron akong mga naririnig like from friends, and also they said they started researching about how to migrate abroad, and then they get overwhelmed with a lot of information that easy and parang ang daming kailangan gawin, ganyan ganyan. But you really have to do that if you really like to do it like as a project, as a life project to go and migrate to another country. You really have to do all those research. And the good thing, it's easier na nga these days eh, kasi all of the things you can do online. Plus, there's a lot of Filipinos, and most likely there's a lot of friends that you have in the others that can give you like quick tips on how to fast track some things, and you know, provide strategies and tips on how to get the slots that you need and how to, you know, make them faster. So,
mga Facebook groups talaga. Ako I find them
super helpful. At nagre-respond yung mga tao.
Oh, tsaka marami kang makikita ang iba't ibang scenarios and options and strategies na mga para-paraan ng mga Pinoy on how they actually are able to move. Pero yun nga, dito ko rin yung sinabi mo, because it's really not easy moving to another country. And if it's that easy, a lot of people, 100% of the people will be just like moving around all the time, diba? But when you give a lot of like time and effort into it, something could happen. Ayan.
So I think it has been a great episode, no? I think it's really maraming mapupulot yung mga listeners natin, especially the ones who have the interest. I think we have a lot of friends that have been asking us, no, Tina, even in our organization before. No? Parang paano ba lumipat? Hopefully you guys can talk about it as well, so we can just get to listen instead of be bored about reading, you know, a lot of stuff. At least they just listen about it, and hopefully
iba din kasi yung interest nila. Iba din yung dating pag if you hear it from other people's experiences, di ba?
Exactly. So, it's more real, parang ganon.
Yeah, and parang mas namomotivate ka to actually do it on your own because you've seen other people do it. So it's doable naman din para.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ayan, before we end the episode, I would like to give a big shout out to my friend, dear friend Chapet Letran. He has created from the third episode. Jeff has created this Instagram page for some of his magnificent, oh, diba? Magnificent.
Wow, magnificent.
Spell. Magnificent hiking photos in Sydney and Melbourne. So he has taken a lot of great photos, and grabe, nakaka-inspire to do some hikes as well every weekend. So go follow him on Instagram at go_findme, and that's GO_FINDMEE. He's also looking for hiking buddies, and he's currently in Sydney. So if you're there right now, just send us a message and I'll hook you guys up.
I think I have a couple of friends in Sydney. Maybe we can introduce them or something.
Ayan, sige.
Yeah, tapos medyo active din yun, yung mga friends ko. Ayan, ang good naman, go_findme. So parang GoFundMe.
Parang GoFundMe. Pero double E.
And yes, and as for myself, I would like to thank everyone who have joined us in the Bida campaign program of I Am Making a Difference, or that I have tawag dito, pinromote ko last episode. Actually, as of July 26, so that's 2 days ago, we already had like a total of donations of 264,000 plus. Wow. And our goal was 200,000 lang. So we have increased our what do you call this, number of beneficiaries from 20 schools, ginawa na namin 30 schools. So we're continuously welcoming donations and everything. So thank you very much to all the ones who have helped us through this campaign. And you know, the Philippines still needs us, Philippine schools still need us. The government unfortunately cannot provide for everything. So concerned citizens like us who are looking for avenues to help out. So just go to bit.ly/bidadonate. That's bit.ly/bidadonate if you would like to help out some of our public schools.
So for those who haven't listened to our previous episode where you promoted that, give us a brief background on what the...
Yes, the Bida Eskwela program is Bigay Ayuda para sa Eskwela program. So what it does is we're selecting school beneficiaries all around the Philippines, Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao. We have partner schools in there. And then we are supporting their preparations for the alternative class learning programs that they're going to do come August pag nag-open na yung classes. So we provide them with like different support. Yung some, for example, wala silang hugasan ng kamay and everything, yung setup ng ganon, printers, paggawa ng mga modules and everything, depending on the specific need of the school, that's what we provide to them. Okay. So we have already partnered with schools, so we already have some builders, but that's what they call them, who have actual access and contact to the different schools that we have selected, and then all the donations will go through them. And then kapag ka naman if they signed up for to donate in the form, if they fill out the form in the bit.ly/bidadonate, their email address and contact numbers will be saved there, and then they will get constant updates on where the donations already went and kung sino na yung mga schools na natulungan. And also in our Facebook groups, we provide updates on the number of collections and also the dispersed amounts and the type of help that we have done to the different schools that we partnered with. So, yeah.
Excellent. Congrats.
And also a shout out to Kuya Pete. He's actually Angel Pete. It was you who mentioned it to me, na kailangan siya.
I was just talking to him earlier kasi I asked him about Mandalorian toy thing. So, ayun, sabi niya makikinig daw siya sa podcast.
Yes. So, Angel Pete, kamusta na? So, yeah. Hopefully pag nadalaw ka dito sa bandang to ng mundo, you get to meet me or Tina. We will tour you around.
Show you around. Yes. Anyway, to our kabeshies, hope you have enjoyed our topic for this episode. And if you have any other topic suggestions, comments, reactions, or any message you want to send, please get in touch with us on our Facebook and Instagram pages. That's Finding Answers, ANZERS, or send us an email at finding.answers@gmail.com.
So yes, join us again in our next episode where we will have a fabulous guest. Famous siya in terms of like vlogging and blogging about on how she was able to reach and migrate to New Zealand to supplement all the things that we have discussed today. So that's for the second season of Finding Answers with JR
and Tina. See you.
Bye.